me please what your full name is?
Robert J. Evans Sander.
Okay, let's just stop and see. Today is March the 9th, 2009. My name is Isabel Tuning, and I'm here with Tate Alexander today to interview him, to talk a little about his memories of Brownsburg. Could you tell me, please, tell me what your full name is?
Yes, Robert Tate Alexander.
Uh-huh. And when were you born?
I was born in Norfolk, Virginia.
When?
In February the 16th,
1918. Mm-hmm. And then when did you move up to this area?
We were already here on the farm.
I see. Uh-huh.
There was no hospital. We lived down near Midvale, if you know Donaldsburg.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Being from Brownsburg, it's a neighbor city.
Right.
And my mother went down to Midvale and caught the NNW. I went to Norfolk to find me.
Uh-huh.
There was no hospital here.
Right. And who was in Norfolk that she stayed with?
Well, my father's sister was an RN at a hospital in Norfolk. I don't know the name.
Mm-hmm.
I do know it was a Catholic hospital, because mm-hmm. the Catholics, you know, thanks to them, we had hospitals. And after, I guess, a week, 10 days, or 2 weeks, or whatever, she brought me back to the, she decided to keep me, and brought me back to the farm.
Oh, that's interesting. Did a lot of people do that?
Well,
go to the hospital?
It was not customary in our days. Children were born at home,
mm-hmm.
but she had a hard time with my older brother. And they thought it was for her best, for her protection, her health,
mm-hmm.
as well as the critter. And so that was the option.
And what were your parents' names?
John Alexander, John Addison. And my mother's name was Janet Fultz.
F-U-L-T-Z?
F-U-L-T-Z. Mm-hmm.
Janet Fultz.
Excuse me. And there were three boys. I was the middle one.
Who was your older brother?
Jim.
Mm-hmm.
James Gibson, James G. Alexander. He's the one who started the dairy business because Dad died when I was quite, we were quite young.
Oh, he did?
As a matter of fact, I do not remember him. I'd say you're supposed to, and I was nearly four, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason I warn you now, my memory is still not what it used to
be. Oh, I think your memory's probably just fine.
But after Dad died, then my mother moved over to Woodside Grove, that's where we grew up, where the dairy is.
And who did she move in with there?
Oh, her mother.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, Ida Fultz. And she was very kind to her mother. She moved in with three brats. It's a wonder she didn't pick them all for the shotgun.
Was your brother Jack born in Norfolk as well, or was
born? No, he was born at the farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did your father die of that young?
Pneumonia. He was an old man, 39.
Oh, my goodness. We stopped just for a minute for a phone conversation, and you were telling me about your brothers.
Jack and Jim and Jack
mm-hmm.
and I grew up at Westmount the Dairy.
At Cherry Grove.
Cherry Grove.
Mm-hmm. And your grandmother, Ida, grew up in my house, right?
Right. I mean, mm-hmm. she was about 12 years old when the Union forces came through.
And she remembered that, didn't she?
Yes, she did. Remembered in favor because one of the officers lifted her up on his horse and gave her a little ride.
Oh, is that right? Huh.
But she never talked too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
She was I didn't inherit this, but she was a lady of not too many words, but when she spoke, she had a promise.
You listened when she spoke.
Absolutely. But it was very, very interesting. That was a different generation. Totally. Her husband, she was with her too. He died of pneumonia when he was either early 40s or late 30s.
What was her full name?
Ida Wilson Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
Two L. Wilson,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One.
Right, right.
And, but she always never referred to her husband's name as Joseph. She only referred to him as Mr. Fultz.
Oh, really?
Never anything else. Then.
How old was he when he died?
I'd say either late 30s or early
40s. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
She was with her quite young.
Mm-hmm.
With five daughters and one son.
So then you grew up with her in the house. It was you and your three brothers and your mother.
That's right.
And then your grandmother mm-hmm. lived in the house together.
Draper was an RN, a public health nurse in North Carolina, and was on a sabbatical at University of Columbia for master's or graduate study. which he contracted a rheumatic fever and became disabled. And excuse me, had to retire.
And this is your
so
aunt?
She came home. My mother's sister.
Oh, okay, okay.
Mary Draper.
Mm-hmm.
So, question?
Your wife, can you tell me who you married?
Pardon?
Tell me a little bit about your wife, how you met her. And
well, she was a city girl, a native of Musselburgh, and moved to Fairfield when, I guess she was in the sixth or seventh grade.
What was her name?
Elizabeth Farbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Elizabeth.
Sarah Elizabeth. Oh, I didn't realize that. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And where did her family, they lived in Musselburgh, and did they have the Farbaugh kill in Musselburgh? Did they have the Farbaugh kill in Musselburgh?
It was in the family, but I'm not sure who had it,
mm-hmm.
what family member had it. I never heard of her say.
Where did they live?
They lived, well, a part of the farm has the recreation on it now.
I see.
Because mm-hmm. you go down Musselburgh, mm-hmm. down the creek. They lived in that farmhouse down
okay.
below where, help me out a little bit.
Oh, McAwee.
Well, it's not the McAwee Chapel.
Not that far.
The farm, mm-hmm. my farmer's down below Musselburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to say over the family that had the brick house up on the hill.
I don't know.
Well, anyway.
But that's where she...
She grew up there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then did her father move the whole family here to Fairfield?
Her grandfather was a blacksmith of Fairfield.
Ah.
Mr. Calvin Dunlap.
Where was his shop?
His shop was almost directly across from the property of the Presbyterian Church. The building does not. The house they moved into is the house that Mrs. Chittum, Beulah Chittum,
mm-hmm.
lives in.
Mm-hmm.
And the blacksmith shop was adjacent to it, not adjoining, but in the lot next to it.
And that was her grandfather who had the. Mm-hmm. What did her father do?
Her father was a farmer and worked uh-huh. for the state, what is now BDOT.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And so did you and she go to school here in Fairfield together?
Well, she was the class ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And the elementary and high school and so on.
Well, did you have a lot of association with the people over in Brownsburg, or was it sort of the ridge in between kept the communities separate?
We had we did not have much actually contact socially, but we knew a good many of the youngsters who playing athletics and so on. They were their rivals.
So there were organized sports teams when you were in school?
No.
When did you graduate from high school?
Fairfield.
When was it?
The old Fairfield building now mm-hmm. it's adjacent to where the elementary school is now.
Right.
It was the old building that was torn down.
What year did you graduate?
34. And let's say I was Washington Lee a couple of years back in those days. In 34 you were right in the Depression.
Right.
So I was looking at it. I think because for county students at Washington Lee, the tuition was around $100 a year.
Gee, $100 a year for Washington and Lee. Hmm.
So I went to Washington Lee. We didn't have $100, but I worked on something. But worked in the dean's office. Seemed to me I got 50 cents an hour. But we finally paid for that $100.
How did your mother support herself and three sons?
Well, she didn't have a lot of money as far as I ever knew, but she had the farm. We had the home farm and the place up here, and she managed both of them, and then she did everything.
Did she?
She sold insurance on them. She worked in 4-H. She worked in 4-H camp. I know the money was very small, but I'm amazed at what she was able to do to raise the kids. And as far as I know, she never used any credit or loan on the farms.
That's really remarkable, I think, that she was...
Amazing. She was a remarkable lady in many ways. I marvel at it, but she could be an angel and a first sergeant at the same breath. She was a great disciplinarian, and I'll make no mistake about it, because in those days, this one was a part of raising kids. I won't get off on that thing, because today it ain't.
How about your grandmother? Was she a strict disciplinarian as well?
Well, yes, but she didn't interfere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure she and my mother had some words, but I don't know.
Well, it's certainly a big house. There was plenty of room for two families to spread out in there.
A couple of times Lauder's agent, and I think these boys are going to kill each other.
How much difference in age was there between you?
2 years.
2 years like between two Jim years. And you, and then 2 years between you and Jack.
Mm-hmm. A little difference in where little girls don't fight, but boys do.
Well, sometimes girls do, but I think boys are a little more rough and tumble than the girls are.
But I don't want to ramble too much, so your question.
What do you remember about Brownsburg on the occasions that you were over there for sports events, or were there people in the Brownsburg school that you knew that you?
Well, we knew Miss Trevor, who was a principal, Mr. Kester, who was a principal here.
What was his name?
Kester. He coached basketball, and she coached basketball, and she was red-headed, nodding in a temper. And he was not void of temper either.
Uh-oh.
But in those days, of course, the Snyders, Carl Swope, of course, as you remember some of all the names of the rest. And I enjoyed sports and athletics, but I wasn't too much of an athlete in those days. But the thing that I remember about Brownsburg, and that's what I'm wondering, wanted to ask you a few questions when you get through.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm sure you've got much information of Dr. Henry McLaughlin.
We've interviewed his grandson,
Sandy,
and we're hoping to interview his daughter-in-law, Rosa McLaughlin. And there's a lot of information about Dr. McLaughlin in the New Providence history room.
Because he was a legend in his own time. And to me, that's one of the most exciting individuals I've known of. I never knew him. I knew his wife, his widow.
Oh, you did?
Big Mama.
Big Mama. That's what Sandy said everyone called her, Big Mama.
Big Mama. She was around the camps.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee and Sam, Sandy's father, were just good friends over the years. Tremendous influence on me and our boys.
Oh, were they really?
Oh, yeah.
Did Sam, your boys go to camp?
Bruce worked before Sam in Camp Briar Hills.
When it was in Brownsburg?
It was Briar Hills, you know where Sandy mm-hmm. lives, and that's where the camp was. And, well, to me, it's interesting because Bruce was in high school doing extremely well, and he kept talking about wanting to get into medicine. And as far as we live in our concern, education is the one thing you spend money for when you don't have it. And Sam taught at Woodbury. Well, I don't pretend to know all the prep schools, but no school had a better reputation than Woodbury. So Bruce and I went to Woodbury to see Sam. Woodbury cost more than college in those days. Mm. But we were determined if Sam's judgment, Bruce didn't need it, but he wasn't getting as much as he would get there in preparation for his profession. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We had a tremendously good visit with Sam. I'd known Sam and Nancy for a long time, so it was a friendship visit. Because I knew his extreme interest in youngsters, and he knew Bruce. But he had two questions. If Bruce was a problem, is he a problem at home? I didn't have to know anything but. And his conclusion was, and his recommendation was, keep him at home. He'll get a good education at Fairfield High, Rock Ridge High, that was a consolidated high then. When he comes to Hampton, Sydney, because Sam was Hampton, Sydney, 150%, he's going to be behind his classmates, but at the end of the first year or going into the second, if he works like I think he will, they'll be even. So I've always been indebted to Sam for that, because we thoroughly enjoyed having Sam, Bruce here.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not talking about the money difference, but it did help us save some.
When you had four sons to put through college, it helped you a lot, I guess.
Well, I can't tell you how much the boys helped themselves, too, you know. But that. To me, one of the biggest chapters you've got in the book that you're putting together is Dr. Henry McLaughlin.
Well, he, as I understand, was instrumental in getting the bank started. And
Well, there's a story I got from Sam and Brother Lee. That one night, you know, he was, we think of minister today, community people, but he was totally community. And he took one of his congregation men to Stanton on a train for a doctor. a night trip or an Oakley trip. I don't know if a train even ran at night. That's the reason I say I don't want to embellish. But when he came back, so it was reported to me, or I gathered this, he concluded that we needed a doctor in Brownsburg.
I see.
And with his influence, and his influence on the community responded, and they had a doctor in Brownsburg.
And they built a house for him.
Right. And Dr. Henry McLaughlin was instrumental. He did essentially the same thing with the bank, because the farmers needed credit. And Lexington was a long ways away, and so was Sandton, a little bit different from now. And they concluded that a bank in Brownsburg would be the answer. And it was his position that we're going to have a bank. I think that what I know about Dr. McLaughlin, he would resent him, anybody saying that he was responsible. But from what I gathered talking with others about him, if it hadn't been him, it would have been a long time before they had
a bank. He certainly seems like a dynamic person.
Oh,
that we have our Sunday school building at New Providence to thank him for, I think.
Sure,
he did.
Sure. And other things, too, for which he was responsible, to say nothing of his family.
Exactly. All those little outposts of New Providence, there were, I think, three or four little chapels around that he helped get started, one out in Pisgah and a couple of others, I think. That.
And then, of course, I know you ought to have your chapter on Lucha Jean. My Roberto's grandfather.
Oh, Mr. Buchanan.
Jim Buchanan, what's your name?
I've talked to Ann McCorkle, and she talked about him a little, but I really don't know that much about him. He was a big Democrat, I think, right?
Oh, 110%.
Did you know him?
Oh, yeah. Made him mad one day when I made some remark about that Brownsburg baseball. You know, they had, Reese's and Snyder's and Brunton's, and they had tremendous ball players. But that was his pride and joy, the next two and second only to the Democrat Party.
I see. So he loved baseball, but he had all those girls.
Because he did, right. And Mag told me later, I said, Mark, Mag and Libby were real good friends, and well, Mag was a friend of everybody. It's Ann's older sister, and Mag Bates Martin,
mm-hmm.
And she said, you don't make fun of his baseball around Dad. But it was a remarkable family, and his wife, a bear from Greg Churchill area, Mrs. Quite a lady, and reminds me a good deal of her.
She's just such a gracious, nice person, I think, Ann McCorkle. Awfully nice person.
Oh, yeah, it's lovely. Not too well now here.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Well, I hadn't heard that.
Well, Mary was telling me something recently. Maybe it was David. David had not been too well. One of the two.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I think it's still around, and I think David's able to talk.
Mm-hmm. I interviewed him. I enjoyed talking to him. Mm-hmm. He told me a lot about farming in Brownsburg, and I really enjoyed hearing that.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the Depression? Did you realize that the situation was as dire as it was? A lot of people have said it was such a rural community and people helped each other that they didn't realize it was.
Well, my mother never talked too much about money. The management from when wheat got down to 60 cents a bushel, it was something we knew that money was short. But we didn't have money, but no one else had either. But I can tell you one thing, we did not go hungry. Because that's when you got your barrel of flour and you got about the only thing you bought was sugar and salt. And the butchering of meat and all that was available. You had that.
Well, did she have help on the farm? Were there hired people who helped her on the farm?
Or? Catamines on each place.
Mm-hmm.
And
she was able to pay them?
They worked on shares.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So it was not a business that you would think of as a day where they were on salary, but they were on the shares.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the situation. So, but men were. I know more about the Depression. I hadn't read about it than I did personally under experiencing it. Because when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, you're not going to register to too much, and your parents have a rule they're not going to talk about it negatively. So it was an experience that gave you the sense of value of the money and your income,
mm-hmm.
and how to handle money. So.
And we talked a little bit about, we started to talk about Washington and Lee, and then I think I got sidetracked, but you went for a couple of years to
Washington and Lee,
$100 a semester, $100 a year for local people.
That year, what I did, I earned a scholarship, and the cost was the only balance.
And then did you go right on from Washington and Lee to Virginia Tech, or?
Dr. Hale Houston, everybody called him Uncle Bud, but he retired, and I was in civil engineering. And I decided I wanted to get to Tech so I could get in engineering.
So you were taking engineering classes at Washington and Lee, and then the department?
The first 2 years, mm-hmm. about the same, regardless of whether you're engineering or
I see.
The basics. And included in that was German. I know not why. Because I'm still having trouble with English language. Language is not my thing.
I took German in college, too, and don't remember very much of it.
Well, I think by the goodness of his heart, Dr. Farrell gave me a passing grade. But I transferred to Tech and finished there in chemical engineering and worked at Covington.
What did you do at Covington?
West Virginia Pulp and Paper. Now Meade, West Waco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was there about 4 years when the war came along, and I decided I needed to help Rosie the Riveter, so I was on deferment, but I got into the Navy.
Why were you on a deferment?
Because engineers were pretty well deferred.
I see.
But I'm not talking about me in that case, but it was just I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Libby would support him, and God bless her, that was it.
So you were married then?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did you get married?
My dear in Fairview.
Mm-hmm. And when did you get married?
In November 20th, 1940.
1940. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you hadn't been married long at all then? When?
No, I had not. It's been just 2 years. 3 years, actually. I was volunteered at 42 and went in Oakland in 43.
And did you go down to Norfolk?
Hmm?
Were you in Norfolk with the Navy?
No, I was never in Norfolk. All Pacific and the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Miami, but I went in as an ensign and served first at Fort Schuyler in the Bronx, New York. That was a 6 or 8 weeks shakedown. From there I went to San Diego, torpedo school.
Did you take a train out to San Diego? Or
no,
we had
old propellers, D.C., 13 hours from D.C. to Burbank, California. Flew right over the mountains here, and I can see old Cherry Grove under the
roof.
And I was there for, I was in San Diego when Bob was born, our oldest boy, and then transferred back to Aviation Ordnance in Jacksonville, Florida. And then from there, it's a long story, but I was assigned to the fitting out of a USS AV-11. It's a Norton Sound, a seaplane tender. And I was aviation ordnance officer on that. And we were at Long Beach and building those, they called it fitting out before it was commissioned. So you had the problem with a senior ship being built. And very few have that opportunity.
So you were an ensign, but you were really probably doing work as an engineer?
Well, it's in gunnery, you're going back 60 years ago.
Did you have any time at sea?
Well, from as soon as the ship was commissioned, we, what they call a shakedown, where we learned the operation of a ship when it gets on the way. And then we went to San Diego for fitting out supplies and all that, and headed west. And you're getting into west, into San Diego and west, and that's way away from Brownsburg.
Right, it is.
But, yeah, we ended up in Okinawa and Tokyo and left the ship in February of 46 at Yokosuka in the Tokyo Bay,
mm-hmm.
Just after the war.
And then flew back from?
Came back on a tanker, Liberty ship, into San Diego, into Seattle. And then the train west, train east, through the snowstorm of North Dakota, till 46.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all, that's too much about me to kind of round with.
Oh, we're all interested in you too.
I appreciate that.
And had you had opportunities to come back on leave?
Well, I had a transfer from San Diego. I got immediate proceed orders. That means you go right now to Jacksonville, Florida. And I didn't have a ticket. So I got on San Diego on the railroad into L.A. And the super chief was getting ready to pull out. I wasn't no tickets. So I got in line. A Navy lieutenant commander, whom I did not know, but he was next to me. I was following him. He said to the conductor, "Get him on the train. Put him on a chair." And he turned to me and said, "I'll put you in a chair on that chair car." I said, "Anything, even the deck." So in 39 hours, I went in Chicago, and I was about as quick as you could go on a train. I don't know if you've ever been into Chicago on a train. You're going in one station, you can't leave on that. You have to go to one or four others.
That I didn't know, no.
Well, I mean, San Diego, the super chief came in on one station. B&O were leaving for another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I caught a taxi as quick as I could hit the curb, got to that station. That train was pulling out, getting ready to pull out. And I almost put my foot in the door to keep it open. But that from there to Baltimore, and then from into Staten. And I was able to be home a couple of days before I proceeded to San Diego, to Jacksonville. Well, that was the hassle you had there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That, yeah, getting all the way cross country and...
It was, well, I don't know, maybe anybody who said if a tight situation like that, if things work, he said it was the grace of God in the fast infield. Now, if you ever played baseball or softball, a fast infield is your best defense.
Right, right.
So he wouldn't be a blasphemy, he was just stating a fact.
So you were gone from this area then, during the whole war,
well,
virtually.
I really was. Mm-hmm. I was in on two occasions.
But did I'm sure did Libby have to deal with rationing and?
Oh yeah, very definitely.
Where was she living then?
Well, she lived.
Did she move back with her parents or?
Well, her parents were there apparently, so she was there, and then with a woman, but.
Cherry Grove. Mm-hmm.
She and my mother became fast friends. But to me, a joy. And but she was able to come to California and meet with me on two occasions.
Did Bob come?
Bob was brought Bobby out when he was just a year old. He had to, bless his heart, when he got there, he had to learn to walk again. He'd been riding for 7 days.
Was that the first time you'd seen him?
Oh, yeah. I'll talk to you about this when we get through with her.
Okay.
You can ask me about Bruce.
Oh.
Not for this.
Okay. So did she talk a lot about what the war experience was like back here in this part of the country?
Well, they relayed that, Mother and Libby and others. It was rationed. She loved her coffee, but she learned to drink it without sugar.
Were you in communication a lot? Were you, because you were here in the country a large part of the time, you were able to send letters and...
Well, we sent letters all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I got to Shanghai, I was going to mention that Bruce arrived when I was in Shanghai, and I got a telegram. And, as a matter of fact, he was born the 9th of November, and we pulled into Shanghai on the 9th of November, and I got the word the 10th.
Oh, well, that was pretty quick news then.
Well, the Red Cross and the USO helped a lot in
wars.
We didn't use email.
Right, right. Had you already picked out names?
We had picked names around.
When you were growing up here, did you went to Fairfield Presbyterian Church?
Oh, yeah.
And did you have any interaction with the New Providence crowd, or?
No, we did with Timber Ridge.
Uh-huh.
I was on the home farm before Dad died. We were at Timber Ridge Church. That's where my father was a member, and my mother, too. And that's where I was baptized as a was down and brought me home.
When did you start going to Fairfield Presbyterian?
When she moved over to the bar.
Okay, I see, I see.
Over to Denver, over to Chicago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. How old is Fairfield Presbyterian?
Well, it's we kick around a lot, about 46. It was an outpost of Timber Ridge. Now, if you go to Timber Ridge, you tell them that Timber Ridge is an outpost of Fairfield. But you know the history of Timber Ridge in 49, I think it built about the same time as New Providence. Mm-hmm. Am I right? 1749.
1746, our congregation was formed, and then I'm not sure when the first building was.
So, well, I'm not sure Timber Ridge either.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Fairfield became an independent church, and I forget when it was, 18-something, 1840s, 49 is a date that sticks in my mind.
Mm-hmm,
I'm not sure. Well, I wasn't here then. I thought I mentioned that.
What were the farming practices like when you were growing up? Was your farm sort of a subsistence farm, or were there actually...
It was a general farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had everything, sheep and hogs and cattle.
And
corn and wheat and barley.
Did the farm sell cattle and sheep? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, depend on your cattle dealers.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mr. Buchanan was a cattle dealer, wasn't he?
That's correct. Bill Buchanan.
Right. That's right, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you deal with a dealer here in Fairfield, or?
Well, Jerry and Swisher.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandfather, Oat Swisher.
What's his name?
Well, his nickname was Oat, O-T, not Ot, but Otho, I believe. I always felt that. But he was a cattle dealer. And my mother dealt with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jerry and Keith came along, their sons, his sons, and those two have still, I think, worked with the dairy quite a bit. A very unusual family. You don't tell them this, but they have a tremendous reputation of honesty, which you have to ride them. In this area, you know,
yeah, oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, the Swishers are sort of characters, I think. And
so the Alexanders asked to swear.
Do you remember when your family got their first car?
Well, we had a car before Dad died.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
And so your mother knew how to drive and drove the car?
Oh, yeah. She had to be everything. Mechanic and chauffeur and gopher.
How about a tractor? Do you remember the...
I can't give you the first one, but the old tractors were metal, not on pneumatic tires. And, nor do I remember, I think, a farm wall, but I'm not sure if it was making mine. But actually, all of them by horse.
What were the barns like at Cherry Grove?
Well, you still have the big barn,
mm-hmm.
the big bank barn.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the integral part of the dairy. All the sheds, I put and so on, but that's where the Allen, the old thresher machine was set up, and for the straw in the front of the barn for the straw stack, just like you have in most of the old ones you see.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the hay was brought in by loose hay, and then put up in the mow with your hay fork, with the horse full of those, and that was one of my... Not that I did a whole lot of this when I was a youngster, but that was the horse I would look after when they let me.
Did you have chores, specific chores?
Oh, we had chores all the time, absolutely.
What were some of the chores that you...
The joy of pulling weeds, feeding hogs, and things of that type, and milking.
You had a big garden?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She helped with the canning when you had just... My mother had three boys, as I told you. So the boys had to help with the canning and cooking and whatever. And of course, I appreciate that now to the extent that I don't brag about my cooking, but Libby died 6 years ago, and I have to find out whether I can boil water or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was a good experience, and she expected us to handle our jobs.
Did she do canning at home, or was there a cannery here in Fairfield that she used?
The cannery, actually, the one we used most, was down at Stewart's Trap.
Oh, uh-huh.
It was a community cannery.
Mm-hmm.
While there were others around, much easier for canning of meats or things of any quantity. But yes, a lot of canning was done at home in ours.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the sort of the holidays in the barn, the butchering days, the thrashing days, and sometimes the boy became a man when he was able to sit with the help when they were eating lunch, you know.
Your mother and your grandmother cooked a big lunch for the workers?
Well, it was the same with your folks. I mean, mm-hmm. if anybody came around at lunchtime, they were going to have lunch. They weren't told that you want to, you stay and have lunch. And so it was with us. I put some more water in the soup, I do remember.
What was your water situation at Cherry Grove? Did you have a cistern?
Spring way up in the meadow that gravity put it in ours.
Mm-hmm.
Much before its time. Of course, when the rest stop came by, that messed up that.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was way up in the meadow then, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah. It was above the interstate.
I have to keep my eye on the tape to make sure it doesn't run out.
I hope it's a measure.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. How about electrification? Do you remember when electricity came through over here?
Well, I do remember, but I can't tell you the year. Because that was a great day when the electricity came through. And that's where at Cherry Grove we had gas. And I don't know when that was replaced with electricity. I remember when it was done. And over on the farm down at Bobbinsburg, we didn't have electricity, we didn't have water in the house. Except what we carried in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many rooms in a bath, and so I said, instead of so many rooms in a bath.
Yeah. Do you remember Donaldsburg at all?
I do, because I started school from there.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm.
And I think I was 5 when I started, or 6.
Mm-hmm.
It was about that time we moved up to the barn,
mm-hmm.
over to Cherry Grove, within walking distance.
So you walked to school?
From Cherry Grove,
mm-hmm.
sure.
Back to Brownsburg, do you remember any of the businesses or any of the enterprises in the Brownsburg area?
Well, we did not do business there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, I remember Carl Swope and the store, but that was when I was, I don't know if I've ever read it until I left the high school.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Before that, I would not have experienced.
When you had athletic events in Brownsburg, did you travel over in people's cars? Or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we took a bus, those, I don't remember.
Did you play basketball on the outside basketball court? Or?
Yeah, originally.
What, did Fairfield have an indoor basketball court, or did you play outside?
Played outside as we started, and then the school had an indoor basketball court, but that was about it. You
mm-hmm.
didn't have any room for any fans around it, except standing right on the line, you know. But it was outdoor courts and gravel. I mean, that would have been on knees.
I can't imagine how rough that must have been.
Yeah.
And so Miss Trimmer had a hot temper?
We never experienced it. All I know is what people tend to hear of it occasionally. But it's a rule of thumb, it goes with red hair.
Right, right. Exactly. My sister had red hair before it turned gray, but she never was that hot-tempered. We talked a little about some of the people in Brownsburg. We talked about Mr. Gene Buchanan and Dr. Henry McLaughlin. Are there other people in Brownsburg that stand out in your memory?
Well, of course, I'd have to Dr. Ditch Hutchinson in my lifetime. By Brownsburg, never had a finer man.
No, he was really good minister for New Providence.
Well, he was my pastor too when he was there. We moved here in 57, and he and Mrs. Hutchinson joined us one evening for dinner and to sort of dedicate the place. And not so much to us, but I don't think a man ever knew what he meant to me.
Huh? How did you know him?
Well, I mean, if you have a man like that in Rockridge County, you're going to find out about him. I can't tell you who introduced me. I don't know that. But in all likelihood, I met him at Presbytery or the church
mm-hmm,
after
mm-hmm.
me. I don't know if you knew Jesse or not. I doubt if you did. his son was died quite suddenly. He was in mannerisms and everything. He was Dr. Dick all over.
Huh.
When he was a pastor at Blacksburg after I was at Benicia Tech. And but I said, went to Piedmont. I'm not sure where, but started his own church. It wasn't too long after that, and so Dr. Dick, who had retired at Brownsburg, and let's mind you, this was back in the days that even your Providence didn't pay pastors much. None of us did. I think he had to double Campbell's salary, who called it Dr. Dick.
Oh.
It was just touch and go. Well, Hutchinson went to Stanton. Well, I keep rambling, getting up. He started his church in Stanton.
Oh, right, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I asked him later, I said, in your retirement years, I appreciate what you're doing, but to start a new church? He said, I couldn't let Jesse get ahead of me. Dry humor, no, he was just a tremendous individual. I love the guy.
Yeah, we all thought an awful lot of Dr. Hutchinson. And we're happy to have him back in Brownsburg, too, when he lived there. That, He had grandchildren about my age, and they would come in the summer, and we really enjoyed playing with his grandchildren.
Oh, sure.
Any other people in Brownsburg that stand out in your memory?
Well, not a whole lot. A lot of people, that I know. Carl Reese, Wayne Reese's father.
Mm-hmm.
Blood guy, is what they call him.
Right, right.
What a catcher, a hard-nosed bastard baseball player. And of course, Carl Swope played in those games. And I was Commissioner of Revenue here on one occasion, 4 years. And a good many of the farmers I called on to just like all businessmen, you try to get the feedback on them. So that's where I got to know about memory and names. That's where senility steps in. After you forget your name, you forget everything.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
But, well, I can't think of any others right now.
Let me just flip this tape over. When were you Commissioner of Revenue?
It was in 58, I guess. What's your WWF? Mr. Wilson Whitmore had been commissioner for years. And when he died, I was appointed. Well, I don't know. I just felt like at the time I was a good job to get into mm-hmm. the position. So I served county of Rock Ridge in the then town of Lexington. And I was in it for 4 years until the town went to the city. When the town went to the city, they got compensation about 50%, which encouraged me to get back into the insurance business.
So you were out of the insurance business while
well,
you did that?
Well, I had a license, but I didn't do any business mm-hmm. in Rock Ridge County. I had weekends and other clients I could serve outside the county. I made a point not to do any in the county. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't have been right. There's no law that it did.
But if it felt like
case, but it's a question of conflict of interest, which is why I took a chance.
But you traveled around and talked to people and talked to your constituents and...
Not in Rock Ridge County, I did. I did in Rock Ridge. Mm-hmm. I mean, for business and the rest, because you're... what do you know about the commissioner?
Not enough.
It's a position everyone should have for a few years. Because I think it gives you the appreciation of the checks and balances that are in the structures of our counties and cities. And it gave me a great sense of, a sense of confidence and I would say pride in the way it worked, because here I was a commissioner in Rock Ridge County. And I worked very closely with the commissioner in Villavista, the commissioner in Augusta County, the one in Satin, the one in Harrison, in Waynesboro. Not only through our association, but also on the what we call the border runners, the ones that we come across the county and northern. And the cooperation was good. But the commissioner is charged with assessing and putting values on properties. And in those days, you had the income return.
Mm-hmm.
And we got away from that, but the assisted in income returns was so time consuming. But, how to value automobiles and how to value household property.
Mm.
And when I inherited in the office, she would come in, or your husband would come in and would list your jewelry and list your household and all the rest and value.
Oh my goodness.
It was crazy. Well, I'd been in the insurance business enough. But when I was in fire and casualty, when you insure a house for $100,000 at a certain percent, it's put on automatically for your dwelling, for your household contents. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Why not do that for taxes? So I had to run down many of the houses and contents and all that. And I found that if you used the same percentage, you came within the same ballpark of values.
Mm-hmm.
There was some up, some way down. And so we adopted that. And there weren't too many years after I left that counties and cities did away with personal property. You know, but the same thing is true with farm equipment. And, with the automobiles, we use the blue book.
Mm-hmm.
The blue book is on the values of wholesale and retail and so on. So here again, I checked, we had a great variety of values on the same model of automobiles the same year and the rest. You want uniformity, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You want equity. So the blue book gave us the uniformity and so on. It's a slight education. But it was an education, let's put it that way.
Oh, I'm sure it was, but that sounds like you made a lot of difference in the time you were there. If you got them to switch the system to.
Well, I don't mind bragging about that a little bit because I had a good staff, and they I had a Mr. Jean. She was not as old as I am now. I mean, anybody my age now is not in it. He was considerably older than I, and he'd been in the office for a number of years, and he didn't want to change. But as soon as he figured out what we were doing, he was right down the line with me. And that to me was a joy.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to keep the whole staff all 4 years. And there were two or three that tested me regularly.
Well, that says a lot to your management skills if you were able to keep a ball for 4 years.
Well, you know, these people needed to work. Jobs were hard to find, and they were well up in years.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't sacrifice.
Well, you must have known everybody in the county then.
I did.
Between insurance and Commissioner of Revenue, you probably knew everybody.
Well, if I didn't, I had to. I'm sure it was my fault. But, as I say, it was an experience. I think everyone should have it.
Well, it certainly sounds like a big job.
Well, it was a fun deal in many ways, but I took a position that when you walk into the counter, to the counter to assess, you ought to be able to put your own values on what you have and know that it's in line with everybody else. Why not?
Who replaced you after 4 years?
Well, see, the city of Lexington had to appoint its own.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge had to appoint. The judge appointed someone from the county. A man by the name of Baker was appointed to me. No longer living.
Mm-hmm.
No. The problem is this age. You know, I've lived too many of them. Too many people.
Was there a significant black community here in Fairfield like there was in Brownsburg?
Blacksburg.
Oh.
Way down, if you know where it is.
Near Jonestown Road?
Jonestown.
Mm-hmm.
Jonestown, I mean, here in Blacksburg is a crossroads.
Oh, okay, right. Mm-hmm.
Toward
mm-hmm.
Cornwall.
Mm-hmm.
On the ridge up there. So, great families involved in that, just like you have in Brownsburg.
Yeah, in Brownsburg, it seems like it was more people lived closer together, I think. The blacks and the white community, it was all mm-hmm. right there.
And Betty, what's Betty?
Betty Brown.
Betty Brown.
Betty Pleasance Brown.
I ran into her in Walmart a couple of weeks ago. We had a big hug. I never met. And she's a delightful
person. She is. She's a great person.
She's what he is, what she is at all times. Still runs the post office.
She and Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter has been in Iraq, and she's, I think, home right now for leave.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer.
I don't know the children.
Mm-hmm. No, Betty, between Betty and Eugene, they keep our post office in Brownsburg up to snuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little about medicine and childhood diseases? You mentioned your father and your grandfather both died of pneumonia.
Well, your grandfather was appendicitis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said appendicitis.
Peritonitis.
Oh, uh-huh.
Infected.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, both at home.
Did you have the typical childhood diseases?
Oh, yeah. And a fear of polio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Several friends that were afflicted with polio. And that was a frightening thing during mm-hmm. polio season.
When was polio season? During the summer?
Summer, possibly. I would say almost a seasonal thing, but I'm not too sure. It was narrowed down to the summer.
But weren't there quarantines sometimes when children couldn't go out?
Well, parents would quarantine, hold them in, or mother would keep us from going mm-hmm. out where we're exposed. Mm-hmm. Because there was a fear of the unknown. It's hard to fight something you don't know, mm-hmm, you can't mm-hmm. see.
How about home remedies? Did your mother and your grandmother use any home remedies?
Some chest colds and the rest. And salve, ointments, reek to high heaven. But that was the only thing we had.
Mm-hmm. And you got a smallpox vaccine when you were little?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was even back in those days.
How about holidays? Did you have big holiday celebrations? I know you mentioned that Butchering Day was pretty much a celebration.
Quilting Days.
Quilting Days.
Well, we have a great gathering of aunts and uncles. Uh-huh. Ants around the quilting frames up in Cherry Grove. That's where we kids could listen to the conversation but don't interfere. But holidays as such, there were no real community holidays that I would think of. Of course, Christmas is a church activity, mm-hmm. and Thanksgiving was one again with thanks. It's a church.
How about the 4th of July? Was there any acknowledgement of the 4th of July?
We didn't, no big celebration mm-hmm. as such, but a recognition of it, yes. Mm-hmm.
I think I've gotten through. Well, let's. How about your ancestors? Anyone involved in the Revolutionary War or the Civil War? Any of those kinds of stories?
I'm ashamed to say I didn't follow up, and I'm not a son of the American Revolution, but I could have qualified. I just didn't follow up on it. Louis was a daughter of the Revolution. And yes, we had ancestors involved, but was my grandmother, Ida Wilson, younger brother, was one of the last to be killed in the Civil War, the war between the states. He was shot and killed, I don't know, but I think the day before the Appomattox surrender, or it was that close.
Mm-hmm.
But the name it must have been James Wilson, mm-hmm. and they were ready to report to New York and their brothers. But that's about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think I've gotten through most of my questions. Are there other things, other memories of Brownsburg you have that you'd like to share with us?
Not really.
Well, I really appreciate your time. It's been.
Well, I hope it's readable.
Oh, it will be. Yep. Mm-hmm. No, I really appreciate your time and your stories and your information. Mm-hmm.